In the midst of this global crisis, the voices for justice are revealing what really matters. It is time for Planetary Makeover. Here we feature solutions and modern miracles in documentary videos that offer hope for our future and remind us all of our spiritual source. Long ago, it was forecast that at this time in history, extraordinary teachers, including the World Teacher, would emerge to help us as we build a world that works for everyone.
Welcome to another episode of Planetary Makeover. This episode entitled, Maitreya is Here, Improbable Events and the Undiscovered News, is a video of a live, on-the-air radio interview of Francis Oman, one of our producers, by Vicki Leeds of The Vicarious Traveler, broadcast on KWMR Radio in West Marin County, California, in which Francis will discuss her documenting of miracles and her experiences of them. As always, at Planetary Makeover, we're not here to convince you of anything. We only ask you to consider, with that rarest of human attributes, a truly open mind, what could be a world, a beautiful new world, emerging now of justice, equality, truth, synthesis, peace, love, ecological restoration, world peace, in which the world will retain the best of the old while embracing the best of the new. And so to help accomplish this seemingly impossible task, we assert and demonstrate always that humanity has help of an extraordinary kind. And this is in the guise of a world teacher who will help us to inspire these truly amazing futures, which at the present time might seem impossible. So in this interview, both Vicki Leeds and Francis Oman will take us on a journey through some astounding events that are taking place now and which are sort of signposts along the way pointing to the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. So join me while I listen in.
This morning, I'd like to welcome a very special guest, Francis Oman. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning, Vicki.
Thank you for coming to Point Reyes this morning. Francis is an investigative journalist, author, artist, and documentary producer. And she's in the midst of completing her newest documentary, Countdown to Now, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth. So, Francis, for over 30 years, you've been investigating and documenting improbable events, many of which are considered miracles. You worked as a consultant for Miracle Quest, a series which aired on the Discovery Channel. And the phenomena that you have investigated is quite diverse. Would you please tell our listeners about some of your earlier projects, maybe starting with Crosses of Light?
Yes, Crosses of Light began a couple of decades ago. These beautiful, glowing, holographic crosses appeared in windows in East LA, in the Hispanic community there. And people were reporting having miraculous healings and so on. So I hot-footed it down to Los Angeles from the Bay Area and actually moved down there and even tried to learn Spanish. I speak fluent French and Italian, so Spanish wasn't too much of a challenge. And I almost moved into the community. Just, I really become part of whatever it is that I'm documenting. Well, my background is as a journalist and as an artist, so I have sort of the visionary part of my being, but I also am very committed to the facts.
And what are some of the other projects that you've worked on prior to the Countdown to Now?
One was the miraculous healing from AIDS. A man named Bill Tritt was in the hospital dying with AIDS, He was down to 89 pounds. He was blind. And the doctor said he had maybe 2-3 days to live. And at that time, and you'll see a thread through everything that I've done in these documentaries, interestingly enough, much of what I've done, almost everything that I've done, leads back to a very interesting phenomenon, which is the emergence into the world of the future Buddha. The future Buddha was foretold by Gautama Buddha to come at the beginning of the New Age, and his name would be Maitreya. Well, Maitreya has been emerging over the last couple of decades into the world, is now in open view in the world. But 20 years ago, when I was interviewing Bill Tritt, Maitreya was still quite hidden, but he was performing miracles and doing things that would start to bring attention to the possibility that he was in the world. And he gave Bill Tritt a vision while he was in the hospital, an extraordinary vision. I mean, it could have had a full feature movie, which in my dreams I would love to have gone to that length. But anyway, long story short, he had a vision. He woke up in the hospital. He could see. He called his nurse. He says, "I don't have HIV. I don't have AIDS. I'm fine." And often people get delirious when they're about to die. And the nurse said, "Yeah, Bill, that's yeah, we understand." he said, "Test my blood and test it now." And he insisted, and they tested it. There was no trace of HIV, no trace of AIDS. And I have a beautiful documentary interviewing him, and with him talking about how you can't just accept what the medical pundits say. And you have to rely on something within yourself and be open to something improbable happening. And I think that's a stream of approach that I have through everything, is if I have a mission, it's to bring improbable facts about it, things that seem to be improbable, to the attention of people so that they can have the experience of seeing what their own preconceptions are. And then maybe moving into something new. That's why this new film that's almost finished, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth, is the subtitle. It's like, how can we make a shift, a whole paradigm shift, not just as individuals, but also as the whole planet, into some kind of a new paradigm? I mean, is it possible to have something as improbable as no more hunger, no more war? Well, everybody knows there's got to be poverty, there'll always be war. Really? Well, with what I've seen and the experiences that I've had of great beings and the miracles that I've documented, and fortunately for me, many of the miracles that I've personally experienced convinced me that anything's possible. And so that's my mission, is to bring that out.
But I was trained initially as an artist, you know? I mean, you start every painting with a blank canvas. And I'm also a 30-year meditator. And the idea of getting yourself to that place of nothing actually involves heightened awareness of all of, whatever you want to call them, your own delusions, your own glamours, your own made-up things that were your responses to circumstances. And so I've made it a point to be as aware as I can of my incredible frailties and opinions and inability to approach something with a blank canvas. Luckily, that helps.
And how do you conclude whether miracles are real or not?
Well, I'm not the Pope. If I were the Pope, I would say you have to have 3 miracles. If you have 2, you can't be a saint. But if you have 3, you can be a saint.
And only that's dependent on a variety of things. I recently read a book about saints and you know, tracking those miracles down.
Yes. However, I have a difference of opinion on many things from the Pope. And, but one of them is that when I investigate and I look at some improbable, inexplicable situation, and I say to myself, most of us are deluded. And this one, in Countdown to Now, I look into crop circles and UFOs and
all kinds of other things. So I look and see, is there any other explanation? So I go to scientists, I go to doctors. In crosses of light, so many people were healed from these beautiful glowing crosses. I would march to the doctors with them. You know, I got all of their statistics. I had a consulting doctor on the team. I talked to scientists who could tell me about light refraction and diffraction and all that. And so I would say for every, boy, I don't know, I've never figured it out. I know I've got something like 25 hours of tapes for countdown to now of my initial footage, and that at the moment it's about 45 minutes. It may end up being a little longer, but I weed through the least anything that's at all suspect, and take only things that are quite definitely not to be discounted by science.
So it sounds like what your inspiration is a planetary consciousness and really encouraging and making it available for people to look at things with an open mind.
Well, yes, an open mind. what a challenge, you know? I mean, later on, I can go into a little bit more detail about who Benjamin Krem is. When he speaks, whether he's talking about UFOs or Maitreya Buddha or whoever he's speaking about, he always prefaces it with, I hope you will not take what I'm saying as dogma, as truth, but that you look at it with the rarest of human tools, a truly open mind. And it is rare.
You're listening to KWMR 90.5 and 89.9 on your FM dial. My name is Vicki Leeds, the host for The Vicarious Traveler, and my guest today is Frances Ullman, quantum artist and documentary filmmaker, and we are heading towards discussing her new film, Countdown to Now, Quantum Leap for Planet Earth. This is all working up towards that. So a lot of the research that you do are about things that aren't commonly written about by the press, or as you called it, the undercovered news. I like that expression. So, Frances, would you please tell our listeners about some of the extraordinary things that you have investigated recently? And let's start with crop circles.
Yes. Well, crop circles are interesting. When they first began to hit the news...
When was that?
Oh my goodness, they've been really in the news more or less for 25 years, but particularly in the last 15 to 20 years. And early in this, there was a huge media stir in Great Britain that the crop circles, which appeared for the most part in the beginning, all in England near Stonehenge. And by the way, I'll get to that later, but the Maitreya, his headquarters is in London, and that's part, there, all these ends ended up being all connected with each other. But in any case, the first ones were happening in that area, and they were quite simple circles or two or three circles. And the BBC and other media in Great Britain revealed the hoax of the crop circles. And as I talk to people about them, everybody says, yes, I know about crop circles. They were a hoax. Well, I cannot verify this as a documentary maker, but rumors from many sources, as I investigated this, said that the government or the BBC or somebody like that had paid two men, Doug and Dave, to fake crop circles. So they got boards and ropes and they, you know, made these circles in the crops. Well, since then, the crop circles have gotten more and more complex, more and more beautiful. They've been documented to appear within seconds. Some of them are very high. Scientists and mathematicians recognize mathematical formulas, shapes that are mathematical formulas, and extremely beautiful and playful. And some of them are kind of like the local one that I saw.
The one that is in I've seen a rough cut version of Countdown to Now on the crop circle, and there is absolutely gorgeous. It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell people about that?
Yeah, it was interesting because I was at home and I had become very interested in these crop circles. And a friend of mine called me on her cell phone and said, I think I found a real one. I think I found a real one. And so she got out of her car and she said, I'm walking through this wheat field. And she said, there seems to be this circle or something. And she said, here it is. She said, it's like 3 feet wide. And she walked across and she said, here's another one. And, oh, there's a huge one. She was so excited. And I said, okay, you've got to get up in an airplane to see this. So I said, call my friend Ron, who I had trained in video, and I knew he had a camera. So I said, get Ron, go up in an airplane and get pictures of this thing. So I show the pictures in the documentary. And it showed the sense of humor of whoever or whatever is making these, because here was this fabulous diagram of several different crops, very circles and designs. And from one side of it, several teensy weensy little 3 foot crop circles marched over to the power lines as if it was, you know, plugging into the power. It was really amazing. So,
and there weren't any apparent footsteps leading to.
No, as she went in, she looked all over. She said, when I walked through the wheat field, I crushed down the wheat, and there were no other footsteps out there. In fact, the farmer was quite disturbed by the whole thing, and luckily we got this beautiful footage.
What happened to the crop circle?
The farmer mowed the whole thing down to the dirt, and we have actually
almost
footage of that. Yes, immediately. It's like within. My friend got photographs of it to the press, and so it was in the press, and it's been photo in many of the crop circle books. But that was it.
In your film, you tie in crop circles, UFOs, and spirituality. Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Well, humanity has developed a whole lot of religions. And as I had referred to, many prophecies about some future coming person. In my own personal experience of spirituality, in becoming a more spiritual person, I've talked before about the challenge of becoming aware of what's already in my mind, in my personality, so that I can then put that aside in the esoteric terms, experience renunciation, detachment, so that I can be open to something higher. And I have determined that the UFO sightings, the crop circles, may well be something on a much higher spiritual plane that we're connecting with. Benjamin Cram, in December of 2009, sent out a press release from Share International, and people can go to that website. It's www.share-international.org. So I think that for us as humanity to open up to our highest spirituality, we have to see what we already think we know. And so that's a daily thing for me as a journalist. And yet I'm an artist and a meditator. So I have a lot of very outside the box experiences that confirm to me a very definite spirituality that's very alive in my life. But the facts, I want to get the facts. So how these have to do with spirituality is that in the first place, opening our minds to things that we may not have been open to before opens us up to our own creativity and to our own sense of intuition and power to create reality. So many of the spiritual teachers these days are saying, we create our own reality. Well, what is that? And if that's so, how do we do it? What does it take to actually have a world that lives up to the values and principles that we have. I mean, thou shalt not kill. You know, feed my sheep. You know, feed each other.
Well, when I talked to you earlier, you said, and I'll quote, that you talked about a shift into a new paradigm for the whole planet, and you said something about a peaceful revolution of consciousness. Francis, I just want to, I did a little bit of looking up Maitreya, so I'd like to share that with the listeners. So the name Maitreya is derived from a Sanskrit word meaning loving kindness. And in India, they've believed in a Buddhist Maitreya for the last 2,500 years. According to Buddhism, Maitreya will be the fifth Buddha of the present eon, and his arrival will occur after the current Buddhist teachings are no longer meaningful, communicated, or they're completely forgotten. So that kind of doesn't go with the present Maitreya, but they figure that's going to happen another 30,000 years. Maitreya is the name for a person of religious stature who will be the answer to the world's quest for peace. There have been many self-proclaimed Maitreyas over the years, the first ones recorded as early as the 3rd century CE. He's been expected for generations by all the major religions. As you mentioned, Christians know him as Christ and expect his return. Jews await him as the Messiah. Hindus look for the coming of Krishna or a Kalki avatar, an incarnation of Vishnu. And Muslims anticipate him as the Messiah. So Share International equates Maitreya with the prophesized figures of multiple religious traditions, claiming that Maitreya, also known as the world teacher or just the teacher, is already present in the world. And this Maitreya has not come as a religious leader, but rather as an educator in the broadest sense, pointing the way out of humanity's most critical problems. So this Maitreya doesn't claim to be a religious leader, but rather an advisor, guide, and teacher. He guides, and we have to, you know, pick up the pieces and save the world ourselves. So this current Maitreya, besides teaching humanity the art of self-realization, which includes honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment, has prioritized an adequate, healthy food supply, as well as housing, healthcare, and education for all. Share and save the world is a quote, and is his social message. To create a civilization based on sharing economic and social justice, freedom and peace, as well as global cooperation. So apparently also Maitreya is also encouraging protests. And unfortunately, many of the current protests aren't peaceful.
Yes.
So would you like to speak with this and
yes,
talk more about Maitreya? And...
Very much so. First, as to the Buddhist teachings and also as Bible teachings, as many students of scriptures of different traditions know, that much of these things that have been written down were written down by human beings who made their own interpretations and their own guesstimates about when things were going to happen. So who knows? The other thing I wanted to say was that Maitreya, or the world teacher, he prefers just to be known as the teacher. He has been speaking in London. He appears usually as a Muslim and speaks in the mosques, but he's now appearing all over the world in many other guises. He's able to change his form and appear very often as a homeless person. People of many different colors, and many people have had amazing experiences of being with him. And you'll see, I'm getting to the protests to answer your question, but for any of the listeners who've ever had an experience of a great being, if you've ever been in the presence of Muktananda or Guru Mai or the Dalai Lama or anyone of that, or Sai Baba, there's an extraordinary experience of peace. It's like the eyes of the window are the windows of the soul. There's something that happens that is such extraordinary love that for those who've experienced that, they've never experienced anything like that ever in their life before. So when Maitreya takes various different forms, people are having that experience. So suddenly someone will see a homeless man who will say something to them that's so pertinent to their life that how could that guy know? And look them in the eyes and they have that kind of overpowering experience that's life-changing and that may even have a message in it for them personally. Maitreya is doing that all over the world. So, you know, the listeners, be awake. Notice who you might run into and what might happen, because this is one of the ways that he's coming into the world. Now, Maitreya has said that this revolution of consciousness, this is my words, this revolution of consciousness is going to be a peaceful revolution. And it's going to require the power of the people. That the people's voice is so much more powerful than the government's. The government's, the corporations, the institutions even of medicine, education, social services, they're crystallized into an old, unworkable form. They are actually crumbling. We're band-aiding our economic situation, and one of Maitreya's predictions has been that we're going to have a huge crash, and that we will have to learn how to live simply, which, of course, was one of the Buddhist teachings. So Maitreya does appear at almost all of these protests, and he said that the people will be rising up against their governments. And so what's been happening in Cairo, and even today, two of my friends are off at protests, I know, and Maitreya has said repeatedly, people do not realize that we are all gods, and that together we are God, and that what we intend for the world, we can make happen if we work together. And so he's very big on everybody getting out and protesting.
Is there any last thing you'd like to say?
I just want to acknowledge everybody who's listened all the way to the end of this for their incredibly open minds. I will probably go off the air and go, oh my God, did I really say all that? Mm-hmm. So just thank everybody for taking your own quantum leap into the possibility of a new paradigm with no hunger and no war.
Special thanks to Vicki Leeds, host of the Vicarious Traveler Show, KMWR Radio. But stay tuned to hear about Maitreya's forecasts that seemed unlikely at the time, all of which ended up coming true.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, David Minot, delighted to be here and bringing you good news. But let's start with a question. What if great forecasts were made back in 1988, all of which came true? Now, let me give you some examples. The fall of the Berlin Wall, the dissolution of the Soviet Union, the end of apartheid in South Africa with Nelson Mandela being released from jail and becoming president. Who would have believed all of that? And all of this leading up to the rise in people power, a force so strong that no authority on the planet could withstand its power, showing us just the birth pangs of a new civilization. Well, today, our guest, Mark Gregory, as interviewed by podcaster Silito Pascual, will lay out all of the evidence that we have to date. And these forecasts, you're probably wondering, where did they come from originally? From a figure known as Maitreya, the world teacher, whom many people across the globe are expecting in emergence, a full emergence in public view. Now, Maitreya is a spiritual teacher, not a religious figure, not looking for followers, doesn't expect you to believe in him. And he himself, his emergence, was forecast thousands of years ago by Gautama Buddha, amongst others. So now, today, Mark Gregory and Silito Pascual will discuss these forecasts, bringing us up to 2016. When we return, we'll bring ourselves up again, up to today. Enjoy.
I'm Cielita Pascual. I'm podcasting from Seattle, Washington. Very glad to have all our regular listeners tuning in and welcoming all our new listeners to this show, which presents thought-provoking views behind the news. We're going to look at historic world events and the startling predictions of Maitreya and how the forecasts of Maitreya continue to unfold today. And my guest, I'm very pleased to introduce to our audience today, is Mark Gregory. He is a musician and an English teacher living in the Bay Area who has seen a lot, been to many places, met many people, and correlates what he sees in the outer world with his understanding of the ageless wisdom teachings and this event unfolding today, bringing the spiritual kingdom closer to the human kingdom and vice versa through the emergence of Maitreya. Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Cielita, and thanks for that very kind introduction, which I hope I can live up to, but we'll do what we can do, okay?
I have absolute faith in you, Mark. You will absolutely share information that is going to really intrigue our audience and have them curious for more. So let's jump right into the story of forecasts. Just to let our audience know the lay of the land of the show, tell us the major world events that you're going to speak on related to this series of forecasts from Maitreya.
Sure. Well, in the late 80s, Maitreya, through the aegis of Share International magazine and an associate of his, made some absolutely startling predictions and forecasts about events that were about to happen and would have an extraordinarily positive effect on the world at large. And of interest is the fact that these forecasts have almost all of them come true. And when I say almost, I mean some are still in the process of coming true. So it's not as if he missed the mark, so to speak. It's just as if certain things take longer to play out and to become manifest than others. In that time, and I'd like to preface it with this, if I may. It's one thing to look back in history and say, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, that happened. That was great. It's quite another thing to be there in the moment and watch something extraordinary unfold. Because when you're back there in the moment, only then can you have a feel of how extraordinary it was. Because of my age, I'm 60, I happen to be able to say I was there. And so I understand how people's minds were set at that time. And then I understand also how unbelievably stunning and hope-inspiring these forecasts were, and then the fact that they came true.
And I was there as well, because I'm not that much younger than you. And it was an extraordinary time. And for the younger people in our audience, hopefully we can convey for those or those who were not in this, not plugged into the news at the time, it was extraordinary to read these forecasts, and which flew in the face of logic, really prevailing logic.
Right.
I must say, and I can remember a number of those forecasts, and so this is a fun show for me because it reminds me where my head was at back then, and how I was regarding this whole event of Maitreya and the Masters, and reading the information, seeing what's happening in the news, and so I'm glad that you and I both are still paying attention in the way that we are. So tell us about the events that you'll cover, and then we'll go into more depth with each of the events.
Certainly. Well, perhaps one of the most spectacular was the release from prison and the subsequent path that was taken by Nelson Mandela. After having been imprisoned under the apartheid system in South Africa for 27 years, no one at the time would have foreseen that he was about to be released. And far more than that, no one would have ever believed that he would eventually become president of South Africa. If you had said to anyone in 1984 and 1985, Mandela will be released and within 10 years, he will be president of South Africa, people would have looked at you and said, you're balmy. But indeed, that is exactly what happened. In September of 1988, Maitreya predicted, and it was published then in Share International magazine, that Mandela would indeed be released from prison, that there had been a rapprochement between black and white leaders in South Africa, and that his release was imminent. And in fact, on February 11th, 1990, Mandela was indeed released. And then once again, as we all know, he went on to become the elected president of South Africa. So that one was absolutely stunning. Another, and I'll just touch upon these lightly and we can get into them in more detail. Mm-hmm. Another was the downfall of Margaret Thatcher in England. Also in September 1998, when Thatcher was at or near the peak of her popularity, Maitreya said that she would soon retire, that things had will reverse for her, and that as a result of her own actions, she would be forced to leave office. And indeed, when she tried to implement a poll tax, which is unfair, which is essentially a tax on voting in England, the idea proved to be so popular that in 88, Maitreya said that she would resign.
Unpopular.
I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. So in September of 88, Maitreya said she would resign, but at that point, she was still hugely popular in England. But by November of 1990, which is when she resigned, quite extraordinarily, she found that her career in politics was over. This as well was not expected. Margaret Thatcher was a very powerful and popular leader throughout the 80s, and no one would have expected in 1987 or 1988, when these predictions were made, that her political life would end so abruptly and that her popularity would take such a downfall. So those are just two rather exceptional situations that were forecast by Maitreya and published in Share International and came about.
And I'll just jump in right here to say that Share International magazine is in print form and in online form, and you can visit that site, share-international.org. And this podcast is inspired by Share International, pretty much all of our information comes from Share International and its chief editor, Mr. Benjamin Krem, who has published a dozen and a half books on the topic of the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. So do visit the site, share-international.org. It is rich. So, Mark, you were just touching on the different world events that we'll go deeper into on this show. What are some other events that took place in the world that Maitreya anticipated that we would have never expected?
Right. And, you know, just reiterating once again to try and emphasize just how extraordinary these forecasts were and the fact that they came true, you really have to go back and put yourself in the mindset of the mid to late 1980s and try and remember how people were thinking then. It was actually a long time ago, and the world has changed a great deal since then. But Maitreya also predicted that the two Germanys would be reunited, that symbolically for the world, it would present a model of the hopefully appropriate marriage of Western-style democracy and Eastern-style socialism. So that was one of the first times that that came about. Maitreya made that prediction in April of 1990, and Germany reunified in October of 1990. Now, that reunification has not been without its bumps in the road, but nothing on this planet ever goes that way. And in part, it's something that I wanted to bring up. It's because Maitreya is able, from his incredibly exalted vantage point to read motion, to read movements of energy, to read tendencies. He can see the way the human race thinks en masse, and he can make predictions and do this. And he is extraordinarily accurate, but we affect the world in a way that we are sometimes not completely aware of. I mean, en masse, human behavior, human thinking has an extraordinary effect on the world. So even someone like Maitreya can make a forecast, but things can change based on human activity, based on what humans bring about themselves. So it's, you know, it's not a parlor trick, and it's not a kind of, you know, silly low-level psychism. It's about reading monumental currents of energy from a vantage point that only he can speak from, and then issuing forth these forecasts.
And this is essentially where we're looking at understanding the law, one of the laws of life, the law of cause and effect. So it's very fascinating. Where, as you say, where this is not about divine fiat. He's not sealing our fate here with certain events. And we'll get more into the understanding of the law of cause and effect. Are there other events that you want to touch on?
Sure, quickly. It was very quickly, because they're kind of fun to go back and revisit. In the summer of 1989, when the first President Bush was rather popular, and then subsequent to the first Gulf War, which made the first President Bush extremely popular, and it moves his approval ratings to almost unprecedented highs, Maitreya said that, in fact, that president, President Bush, number one, his days were numbered, and that the next president of the United States would be a Democrat. Maitreya made that prediction, and it was published in January or February of 1991, when Mr. Bush was riding a very high crest and a very high wave of popularity. But as we know, in November of 1992, Bill Clinton was rather resoundingly elected as president, and George Bush Sr. became a one-term president. And another might be an interesting one would be the descent from power of Mr. Gorbachev in Russia. And I'll just take a moment with this. Although he's viewed with mixed feelings in Russia, Mr. Gorbachev is a hero to many of us in the Western world because of the changes in life that he helped facilitate. I, for one, am of the age that I grew up in the Cold War period, and so I remember, prior to Mr. Gorbachev's arrival on the scene, the tension, the competitiveness, the threat of massive violence, the constant conflict between the Eastern Bloc and the Western powers. With the arrival,
and the shadow of a potential nuclear war as well.
Exactly.
Looming overhead, I remember that.
Exactly. And, you know, you just sort of, if you came of age at that time, you just sort of assumed that if we were very lucky, you know, the world would not blow itself up. But I rather assume that that would be the story for my entire life, that there would just be these two armed camps, as Mr. Kremes once said, with these huge arsenals pointed at each other. All of a sudden, and, you know, not without the influence of Maitreya, along comes Mr. Gorbachev and provides a whole new openness, provides, you know, brings a sort of warm-hearted contrast to the behavior of all of his predecessors to bear. And the world responded to this man in an extraordinary fashion because he himself was so inspired to try to alleviate this monumental tension between East and West. Maitreya said that even though his changes were right, Mr. Gorbachev tried to implement them too soon and that it would not work in Russia. And indeed, it did not. In January and February of 1990, Maitreya said that Gorbachev didn't anticipate the effect of his policies, and they were perhaps happening too fast, and that he would eventually be replaced, and very soon. That, as I said, was said in 1990, and Gorbachev resigned on Christmas Day in 1991. So there again, you know, you have a lead time of over a year, or at least a year, whereby Maitreya's predictions and his forecasts, although completely unexpected, came true.
And some of these forecasts came as much as 2 years in advance.
Exactly.
And so much can happen in 2 years in any direction when it comes to world events. Let's circle back. Well, are there any more? And then we'll go into depth on a couple of these things, because a couple of these events, because I don't know if you want to go in this direction, but you and I know that Maitreya appeared to Gorbachev and appeared to Nelson Mandela.
Right, exactly.
But are there any other events that you want to touch on before we go further?
Well, not any. I think that we can. He made many predictions. He made many forecasts on various subjects. And if you go back and look at the Share International magazines or the archives from that time, readers or listeners who are interested in that can find that information. I think that we've covered four major ones, and so maybe we should move into something else.
Yeah. So, again, for our listeners, at share-international, it's all spelled out, .org, there is a summary of these forecasts online. You can do a search of the website, and you'll find them easily enough. I remember everything around Nelson Mandela prior to his release from prison. I was plugged into that news quite a bit, seeing the footage of protests in South Africa. I recall, the news was coming out that Nelson Mandela had been diagnosed. I don't remember what physical ailment he had, but it was fully expected he would die in prison. And I remember statements where, you know, South African leadership would say, if we release Nelson Mandela, because there's a huge cry from, you know, an international cry to release him. If our listeners recall, musicians and bands were boycotting performances in South Africa.
That's right.
There were songs on the radio protesting what was happening in South Africa. There was an economic boycott of South African, calls for universities and such to divest from investment in South Africa. So it was a major, major movement and a tremendous amount of public attention. And yet it was just a real hopeful dream, a dream that Nelson Mandela would be released. Do you want to talk about how Maitreya appeared to Nelson Mandela?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I have the entire story straight, but, you know, Maitreya suggested to Nelson Mandela that he write a letter to Mr. de Klerk.
Well, he appeared to him literally in his jail cell on Robben's Island.
Right,
And the story is that Nelson Mandela recognized him immediately as the Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he suggested to Mandela to write a letter to Mr. de Klerk saying, you know, pointing out certain things, that apartheid must end, that it does no good to keep me in prison. Da, 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 da. And Mandela was rather humorous in his response. He was initially skeptical. He said, that will never happen. It's pointless to write de Klerk a letter. That will. And Maitreya sort of said, just try it, you know, just
take my
advice.
Mandela apparently couldn't even, he said, I can't even get an appointment with the warden of the prison.
Right.
So to send a letter to de Klerk and request the meeting seemed, even for him, extremely far-fetched.
Exactly. And especially we remember that he had been in prison for 27 years. So he did heed Maitreya's suggestion. He wrote de Klerk the letter. And lo and behold, de Klerk was not only responsive to the letter, but, you know, the process was started by which Mandela was eventually free.
And it was apparently a very secretive initial process because, of course, if anything leaked out to the public, it could be extremely detrimental to the related parties involved. And I remember the footage on the news watching Nelson Mandela stepping out, I guess it was on the tarmac, at the airport with Winnie Mandela, his wife, by his side. And I was in New York at the time, and a week later, the Nelson Mandela's motorcade is gliding down Fulton Avenue in Brooklyn. That was a beautiful, beautiful time. And to know that this was part of my understanding of Maitreya's information, it was really heartening. And before we go any further, Mark, let's talk a little bit more about the purpose. What you think the purpose was in releasing these forecasts. Again, they were published in Share International between 1988 and about 1994. And Share International tracked events in the world and correlated them with these forecasts. But really, what's the purpose in knowing these things?
I think one of the primary purposes is to indicate to humanity the law of cause and effect, that there are profound ramifications for our actions, and to illustrate to us how those laws can play out for good and for ill, that everything that we do has its reverberation, and it sets every cause we set into motion will eventually bring about a certain effect. So one of the key things, I think, is to put it very simply, you know, we can live in harmony and we can share and we can act like the one human family that we are. And we can, if I put it very simply, obey the will of God and we will flourish and thrive. And the extent to which we turn our backs on that will, the extent to which we continue to indulge ourselves in the old competitive, largely capitalistic, largely greed-based and consumption-based ways, it is that to that extent which we will suffer. And, you know, the entire issue with respect to cooperating as opposed to continuing to compete, that whole issue could not be more starkly presented before us right now, most especially with global warming, with the economic discrepancies that exist in the world. Humanity really has a big choice to make, and that is central to everything that Maitreya has said going back 30 years. We have a choice to make. We can either learn to live as brothers and sisters in peace and harmony, take care of our planet the way we know we should, or we can suffer the consequences of turning our back on the divine will and on the divine plan.
And in short, being responsible for what we do. Another way I like to think of God's will, obeying God's will, is following the laws of life. When we follow those laws, when we act on the truth of our unity, act on the truth of the power of sharing, we reap what we sow from that.
Exactly.
And it's so simple. Yes, go ahead.
I think the two fundamental laws that are most at play here are the law of karma, that what you set into motion has an effect.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. For more background information, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's www.shareinternational-west.org. For related books, DVDs, and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com.
We invite you to visit Planetary Makeover on YouTube, where we have dozens of fascinating shows in line with what you've just seen.